This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Rising Cloud, which I hadn't heard of before. But they're doing something vaguely interesting here. They are using AI, which is usually where my eyes glaze over and I lose attention, but they're using it to help developers be more efficient by reducing repetitive tasks. So the idea being that you can run stateless things without having to worry about scaling, placement, et cetera, and the rest. They claim significant cost savings, and they're able to wind up taking what you're running as it is in AWS with no changes and run it inside of their data centers that span multiple regions. I'm somewhat skeptical, but their customers seem to really like them. So that's one of those areas where I really have a hard time being too snarky about it, because when you solve a customer's problem and they get out there in public and say, we're solving a problem, it's very hard to snark about that. Multis Medical, Constructs.ai, and Stax have seen significant results by using them, and it's worth exploring. So if you're looking for a smarter, faster, cheaper alternative to EC2, Lambda, or Batch, consider checking them out. Visit risingcloud.com/benefits. That's risingcloud.com/benefits. And be sure to tell them that I sent you, because watching people wince when you mention my name is one of the guilty pleasures of listening to this podcast. Good morning, AWS friends and fans. We are going to be talking on Wednesday about the interesting security issues that happened last week in the AWS front. Let's skip right past that slash whistle past the graveyard and talk instead about the feature releases that were intentional. So what happened last week in AWS? Excellent question that I'm glad that I asked. Amazon ElastiCache adds support for streaming and storing Redis engine logs. We're giving you more insight into the internal workings of a managed service. Feels like something one big customer demanded, and the rest of us are going to have to suffer the consequences thereof forevermore. Amazon Kendra launches support for query language. I like both that AWS decided that a custom query language was the right answer, and that they seeded the field and decided not to give it a name at all, rather than a bad one. AWS announces new launch speed optimizations for Microsoft Windows Server instances on Amazon EC2. It's now faster to launch Windows instances on AWS. Azure continues to plod along somehow. Introducing SQL Explorer in EMR Studio. AWS again rips off another successful property, this time with the world's worst remake of Dora the Explorer. How Experian uses Amazon SageMaker to deliver affordability verification. There's something very on brand about using machine learning to figure out which people qualify for loans. Remember, it's called machine learning because bias laundering didn't fare as well in test groups. Using Amazon Aurora Global Database for low latency without application changes. Just as I ignore nonsense blog posts from AWS when curating what I talk about on this podcast, AWS chose to ignore CAP theorem when constructing this post. A new AWS console home experience. This has a few sharp edges, but it's largely good. This will, of course, change for the better as the experience gets more polished, and then sharply for the worse as soon as they start putting ads into widgets. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you, just so you can see them facepalm yet again. New Amazon EC2 HPC 6A instance optimized for high-performance computing. Based upon the name, I assume that HPC 6A instances are designed to be print servers for all of your LaserJet printers. Backtest trading strategies with Amazon Kinesis Data Streams, long-term retention, and Amazon SageMaker. If you're not into crypto, but still want to gamble away your retirement account via day trading, AWS is here to goad you on. AWS Compute Optimizer supports AWS Graviton Migration Guidance.
hey, you should move that workload to a different processor architecture to save money is exactly what I would expect a cost optimization SaaS tool with zero context to recommend. Automated alerting on Amazon Workspace's service limits. Maybe, and I'm just spitballing here, the customer-obsessed thing to do would be to alert the customer whenever any service limit for any service is approached, rather than waiting for them to be surprised. Blur faces and videos automatically with Amazon Recognition Video. I prefer to blur faces and videos automatically by using the potato-quality webcam built into the AWS Deep Lens. Introducing the Streaming Media Lens white paper for the AWS well-architected framework. This is useful for both of the companies that want to do streaming media, but never at a scale that would make AWS's egress pricing a complete joke for the workload. Bring your IPv6 address space to Amazon VPC IP Address Manager, or IPAM. See, the danger of pricing things the way that IPAM does, which is 20 cents per IP address per month, is that if we take an IPv6 subnet with 281 trillion addresses in it, I assume, based upon the published pricing, that my AWS bill will be $56 trillion that month. When I call some service pricing clown shoes, this is the kind of nonsense I'm talking about. I continue to not give the slightest crap about IPAM as a result. And finally, a tip we can all benefit from, how nonprofits can automate tax-exempt status across AWS accounts. The way I handle this sort of thing is by calling my account manager and making it their problem. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Thank you for listening.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.